I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. This week is going to be a really good one. I want everyone to meet Karen Kahn. She's the powerhouse founder and CEO of iFund Women. The company is really, it's a game changer, especially in the world of women entrepreneurs. And so if you don't know Karen, you probably are living under a rock, but she's been recognized by Inc. magazine. She's New York's top brass. She's even LinkedIn's entrepreneurial elite. And Karen's really on a mission to redefine equity in the entrepreneurial world. And so some really incredible numbers coming out of the company, but they've empowered over 20,000 startups to raise a whopping $400 million. That's right, $400 million and spawning over 85,000 jobs, which is incredible for a ton of small businesses. Karen, I know I'm talking a lot about you here, but she's no stranger to breaking barriers either. Karen basically blazed the halls at Google, pioneering native video ads on YouTube. And even at AOL, she championed the female creative economy, even earning its first Emmy nod. So that's pretty amazing. Yes. So Karen, why don't we just rename this episode Karen Kahn, Shaping the Future, One Innovation at a Time. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Wow. Jeff, that was a lovely introduction, and thank you so much. It's so great to be here. I listen to the pod, and it's so helpful for founders. I get a lot out of it.
Listen, I've listened to you on your shows, and you know, obviously, we've gotten to be pretty close over the last 4 or 5 years, so it's great to actually have you on the show. But so Karen, why don't you kick us off? Obviously, as the CEO of the company, for one, how did you really envision the platform? And how did you envision it really supporting female entrepreneurs when you first started?
It's a great question. And surprisingly, so we're just wrapping up. We're going to turn 7 on November 2nd. And that's the first time I've been asked that question. So kudos to you for the question.
Great.
Yes. So the truth is, when I started iFund Women and we registered, I bought the domain name for $2.99 on GoDaddy in the summer of 2016. I know. I cried for sadness because no one wanted iFund Women, right? It was just so available. And then I was like, yay, I get my name. So it all worked out. But when I registered the domain name and thought about the problem that I wanted to solve. So the reason I started iFund Women is I was a female founder who could not raise capital, period. I was my own customer. So after my career at Google, YouTube, AOL, I was in, you know, the sort of corporate ad tech space forever. I decided I wanted to start a business. So iFund Women is my second startup. My first startup, vproud.tv, was a spectacular failure. And it failed for one primary reason and then a multitude of rookie startup founder reasons. And the primary reason was I couldn't raise capital, period. This was before the days. So I started vProud in 2014 when I left AOL. And vProud was supposed to be YouTube for women without the trolls. I wanted to start this at YouTube, but apparently it's not legal to gender specify videos on YouTube. And also they just weren't good. Long story short, YouTube didn't want to do it. P.S. They ended up doing it like 5 years later, but that's besides the point. So I was like, okay, this is a really good idea on YouTube. When I was there, it was like the trolls were there, so much misogyny and, you know, hate speech and all this stuff in the comment section of female creators that I was monetizing. And I was like, if we just actually cleaned this up and created some safeguards so people could have honest conversations in the comments of YouTube videos, we could quintuple the price and like sell this out to Unilever in a nanosecond. But so in any case, and also have a better experience for female creators, et cetera, et cetera. So I go to start this business after my career at AOL and could not raise capital. I got the meetings because, you know, I was born and raised at Google. I'm in New York, super connected. And my community of, you know, sort of tech brothers and sisters were, of course, yes, go have this meeting with, my first meeting was with Alan Patrickoff. That was my first VC pitch ever. I had no idea what I was doing. We were pre-revenue. We were not pre-product, but we had like a scrappy MVP. And Alan graciously took the meeting himself and asked me for a second meeting. So he was very gracious and lovely, but the net was there was no roadmap. There were no female founders before me. This was before all the talk about how women have such a lack of access to capital, before all this discussion. So fast forward, we slogged along for 2 years, couldn't make payroll. You know, at the end of the 2 years, we just couldn't keep the lights on, couldn't make payroll. And as a Hail Mary to save the company and make payroll, I was like, let's just do a Kickstarter. Like, this seems easy. How hard could this be? So we put up a Kickstarter and we were raising $30,000. And when the crowdfunder went up, I immediately realized, okay, this is just sales and marketing. I am just selling things to people, like the rewards or the perks on the campaign page. I'm just selling things to people that they want to buy. It has nothing to do with my business. I'm selling t-shirts. I will teach your team how to sell. I'll make videos for you. Like, we were selling our side hustles and anything we could to raise capital for the business through this Kickstarter. And I was like, wait a minute. Why isn't everybody talking about crowdfunding as a fast, low-risk way to raise cash to fund your business? And why isn't everyone talking about this at the beginning, not at the end as like a, you know, a Hail Mary to save a company? Right. And so it was in that moment I was like, all right, people, of which there were three and a developer, we are not doing VProd anymore. We're sunsetting it. We're literally shutting it down. We're building this other thing now. And so the expectation of what iFund Women has become or what it could be wasn't even there. I was like, oh, crowdfunding is a great way to get your business off the ground or to try a new product without going into debt, because it's non-dilutive capital, it's debt-free, it's cash. So we're going to build a crowdfunding platform for women because one didn't exist. And we're going to do one that makes your video for you, because I knew how to do that from YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to make videos for people because that's a really hard thing for people to make their own professional video. And for women, it's hard enough for us to be in front of the camera, like, for all the reasons. So we're going to do video and I'm going to teach people how to do it because it ain't rocket science. So that was the impetus for the business. And little did we know that the problem was so massive, the funding gap problem, which is the problem we're trying to solve. We knew it was big, but we didn't know it was that big. We didn't know when we put up the platform it was on a WordPress site with a crowdfunding plugin, and the product marketing pages were on Squarespace in another domain. It was like, we called her Frankenstein.
I was going to say, it's like all this shit just slapped together to try to make it work.
Right. 100%. Well, we raised $30,000 on Kickstarter, and then we had to fulfill our rewards and do what we said we were going to do, which was make this video series called You're Not Crazy, just so cool. And then we had $14,000 left over to build the MVP of iFund Women. And we literally did. I put up a post on my Facebook. There was no, people weren't using Instagram back then. I don't even know if it existed. And I was like, hey, women entrepreneurs, does anyone need funding? If yes, like, fill out this little form. We have 20 spots for the beta. Yeah. We had 200 applications in a day. And this wasn't boosted post. This was just like on my little Facebook page. It was, you know, a million years ago.
Community.
And I was like, wow, like, ladies can't get any funding. And then, and here we are. So I didn't really have expectations. I wanted to try to solve a problem. I wanted to try to solve a problem, not only really for me, but for the vast majority of women entrepreneurs in the US who are women of color. So women start 1,800 net new businesses every single day in the United States, and 89% of those businesses are started by women of color. So women get 1.9% of venture capital funding. So that's all women founded businesses. If you only have female founders, we're getting 1.9%.
Very low.
It's a rounding error. Yeah. So, that's kind of the genesis of it. And here we are.
I mean, listen, I think first and foremost, I think it's amazing that you know, this is a great topic, obviously, to talk about on the podcast, because it's all about business. It's all about entrepreneurial. It's all about, you know, kind of thinking of ideas and, you know, how to really change culture. But I love that you failed in order to find out what to do next, right? And I think that's one of the biggest learning lessons that we all just, we take for granted. Like, we fail every day at things, but we get better after we fail, right? It's like, we have to make mistakes in order to get better. And so you obviously tried to launch this business prior. It didn't work, but then you discovered this crowdfunding. Hey, this is an interesting business we could launch in this landscape. And so, Karen, I think over the last few years, you guys have done an amazing job at the company, but I've seen so many articles. Obviously, you share them with me, but I also see them on, like, you know, Forbes or The Wire or whatever it might be. You guys are doing some really cool stuff with Visa and Botox and, like, all these amazing programs. And so give us a couple of, like, big success stories that really stood out to you. Like, wow, this was amazing. This really worked so well. And, like, these people are so happy. They're running their business. You know, like, I know that you have 1,000 stories, but give me a couple that you could share.
Yeah, that's a great, another great question. And I love that you asked it through the lens of brands. Because the reality is, there's no one silver bullet that's going to solve the funding gap problem for women. Because it's not just relegated to venture capital. It's when we go to get loans, and I'll answer your question, but I think the context is important. We have to think of lots of ways to drive funding. Crowdfunding ain't going to do it, right? It's a good way to get a little bit of cash to fund the beginning of your business. But then once you have a product and you have revenue, you need venture capital, you need loans, small business loans. And as you may or may not know, when women go for loans, we could have the same exact business, Jeff. You and I could walk in with, like, paper bags over our, or no paper bags over our head. We could walk in, you're a man, I'm a woman, same business, same P&L, same tax return, same everything. You will get a higher loan amount and I will get a higher rate. And in some cases, even in the state of New Jersey, I will need a husband. This is no joke, a husband to co-sign on my business loan. So the biases are baked, systemically baked into the algorithms, whether it's credit scores, women have lower credit scores, it's going on and on and on. So we have had to be innovative all the time. Brands have changed the game within our platform. So one of our products that we developed kind of on the fly as an answer to an RFP from Novartis. It's kind of random, but in 2019, Novartis has an eye care company called Alcon. One of Alcon's brands is Systane Lubricant Eye Drops. Brand managers are in Texas. They have done all their research, and their core target audience are women entrepreneurs. They got Barbara Corcoran, who, as everyone knows, is one of the sharks on Shark Tank, to rep the brand. They were doing this big campaign, and they went to YNR, their PR agency, and said, we want to work with iFundWomen because they have the most women entrepreneurs in the US, and do a program with Barbara. So the YNR person called me up, got my information from someone through someone, called me up and said, hey, you know, I know you're not a media company, but what can we do? And I said, you know, we do what our name says. We fund women. So instead of selling you impressions, we're going to sell you connections to entrepreneurs that Alcon and Systane can market around, can create this amazing brand halo around, and that Barbara can talk about on the Today Show and in Us Magazine and make this whole PR campaign about. And you're going to give them grants, and we're going to deploy them through our platform. So we built it. And that was the beginning of our brokered grants product. And now we've brokered, I mean, it's the bulk of the funding that we have driven is through grants. So Comcast, Visa in 19 countries and in 13 languages, about to be 34 countries with the FIFA World Cup grants we're about to do. Allergan Aesthetics, Botox Cosmetic, millions of dollars. So what's great is brands want to be connected to specific types of women. And entrepreneurs are this golden demographic because you've got small businesses and you've got women who are affluent, educated, are working in corporate America for the most part, and they're starting their businesses on the side. So you've got sort of this prosumer that is the iFund Women member who, when you think about banks, they want to reach. When you think about aesthetics companies, they want to reach them as well. And they want to create meaningful connections with these super high value members. And they do that through putting their money where their mouth is. So it's really, we've created this mission-driven marketing engine through our brokered grants product.
You almost have like an entrepreneurial influencer marketing platform at scale also, right? Like, it's kind of cool.
That's brilliant. Yes. No, I totally. That's so well said. Can I use that? That's brilliant. Amazing.
So listen, I think what you guys are doing, obviously, not just from the funding side, but creating these incredible opportunities for women, it really makes you stand out and stand out from just a lot of companies out there that are just not being uber focused, right? And so, you know, I think from a startup ecosystem, like you've probably seen so many stories of both really high and really low challenges. And so maybe because we have a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening to the show as well, anything that you've seen like, hey, this company, they did something that was so awesome when they tried to market and get themselves out, or this company did something that was just not good. Like, what are some of the highs and lows you've seen as you've experienced? I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking major here. 20,000 startups is nothing to sneeze at, you know? So I'm sure you've had your battle scars from hearing some of these stories.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is iFund Women, my company, our little startup, it's such a, pardon the reference, but it's so meta what we do, right? And having nothing to do with Facebook. It's just, we are a female-founded startup who struggles to raise capital. And that's what we do for a living, right? So I would almost say, like, yes. And we have a coaching platform, which is a startup school. And that's one of our products where we teach people how to do stuff. Because when you teach, when you give a person a fishing pole, I don't need to tell the fisherman about that whole thing. But, you know, when we talk about like rookie mistakes or startup founder mistakes, I would almost even say that I have made them the same as my customers, right? So as opposed to saying like, oh, XYZ company did this, and I know that's not kind of what we're looking for, I think that there are universal mistakes that I would venture that most entrepreneurs make in their early days. And when I say early days is like first 5 years, right? And I think both men and women. So for example, when and if a founder does raise venture capital, and we're now just taking gender out, because less than 1% of all companies will raise venture capital, period. Doesn't matter, you know, what your gender is. So when we raise VC, the big mistake, one of them, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but I definitely can, is you get funded and you're like, holy shit, I got funded. This is so exciting. And you don't spend the money as wisely as you would if it was your second rodeo. Like your first VC rodeo takes exponentially longer to get the funding. You don't know what the hell you're doing. You get better with it over time. It's awful and exhausting. And typically, you don't spend the money as well as you should. And I'm speaking from a personal experience, right? It's not like we like pooped away a bunch of money, but like, could we have spent it in a much wiser way? Absolutely. So I think that's one. And I don't know, I would throw it back to you. Do you think that tracks for many founders?
Oh my God, absolutely. I think there's so, I mean, I'll even use myself. It's just like, you know, there's so many things where it's just like, yeah, we could have used that money in a different way, or maybe we probably shouldn't have spent it there, or maybe we didn't need to do that huge activation that didn't bear much fruit, right?
Totally. But it's always, you know, marketing. It's like the stuff that you want to do, like we don't have any money to do this cool marketing stuff. And then once you get the money, you're like, oh my God, it's merch, it's all this cool stuff. And you're feeling like you're really feeling it. You're finally like, we've arrived. You're like, oh right. Shit, why did we just spend $100,000 to do X, Y, and Z when, like, honestly, we should have done this with it. Yeah. So that is definitely one rookie mistake.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, everything is really, I mean, it should be about ROI all the time. But when you're first starting out, you've got to get your brand out there. You've got to get your name out there. So you have to spend for the awareness, right? So you don't really have those metrics in place until you're more mature. But you know, you could burn through a lot of capital by doing stuff like that and being like, now I have to
raise money. That's one thing. Yes, that's one thing that actually I knew from growing up at Google, that you don't spend money on the brand. Like, that's one thing we never did at iFundWomen. At Bprod, I had to buy traffic because we had literally had no traffic. Like, that was mortifying to have to, like, boost posts and buy traffic to just, like, get people to use a thing. iFundWomen, I say this with all humility, we have done only organic growth. We have not bought one user, not one follower, nothing, like, period, nothing. Because, well, thanks. Also, I mean, like, we didn't have the money to do it, but I also was like, all right, let me learn from, like, 10 years of forming my business brand at Google and, like, actually do things right.
But you also, you're not authentic, real people anyway. So it's just, like, people who just go and buy, like, followers, buy this, buy that. Like, it's not, it's at the end of the day, it winds up being a waste because it's not real, right? It doesn't do anything for you other than maybe give you a little boost from a perception perspective, you know? That's
totally. And what we had was we were solving a problem that desperately needed solving, and the money spoke. Like, you know, there's a lot of companies out there and they're trying to do good things, and God bless them all, that are trying to promote funding for women entrepreneurs, but they're not actually deploying capital. So instead of being out there and, like, talking a lot, and you're not going to see me everywhere because we're really just working on deploying capital. So when you get money into somebody's hands, like you said, with the influencer marketing, I never thought about that. We really have a network of entrepreneur influencers who are spreading the iFundWomen gospel because we have deployed them hundreds of thousands of dollars of capital in a lot of cases. Yeah. So I love that sprint.
Cool. See,
I think, like, overspending, overhiring is, like, the universal problem when someone gets capital. That's what I say will be, like, my standout thing.
I'm aligned with you. All right, Karen, so we're at the 20-minute mark, which means we're going to do some quick-fire questions.
Love it.
Are you ready? I didn't tell you about this.
You ready?
Okay. All right. If you were able to participate in a talent show tomorrow, what unique talent would you showcase?
Oh my God, Jeffrey.
I know. Okay. I already know a few, by the way, so I'm curious what you're going to say here.
Okay. Who's my audience?
I have no fucking clue. I mean, like, I don't know. Our friends.
Friends. Talent show. Talent show. Am I at camp? Am I in, like, a safe space, or am I at work?
Oh, we're right in East Hampton, and it's like we're at the talk house, and it's all our friends.
Oh, amazing. Okay. I would get a band together. I would scream.
You were going to answer. We're performing Downeaster Alexa together.
Yes.
Yes. We know every song.
Yes.
The only song I know.
100%. Well, that's exactly where I was going with this. You and I are performing Downeaster Alexa. Oh, good. I get to have you in the talent show. So help your body out. Amazing. We need costumes. That's number one.
I'll just wear my outfits that I go fishing with, right?
Awesome. And I am going to wear, like, a sea wench outfit.
Done. Okay, second question.
Great. I mean, I don't know if there's talent involved, but that's what I would do.
Cool. I don't know if we're very good, but we can do it. All right, Karen, you are now going, you're going to be shipped to a deserted island somewhere in the middle of the Pacific. Okay, you can take one person with you, but you could also bring one thing. What are you bringing and who are you bringing? You have to survive.
Jeez Louise. Okay. I am bringing... All right. I'm not going to think too deeply about this because you know I'm going, like, into the apocalypse. I am bringing the one person who are my two kids. I'm bringing Bob and David. Okay. Number one. I mean, we may not survive because now I'm just three people. Yeah. Now, whatever. But, like, am I on a deserted island? What am I doing to survive? I'm bringing a boat. I'm bringing a boat. To get my ass off the island. That's it. That's it, and that's a wall. That's my answer.
That's a good answer. Okay. Two more quick questions before we break. What's your favorite food?
Okay. My favorite food, gun to my head, pizza, but, like, truffles, really, white truffles.
Yum. Yeah. Bad. Okay. Now, we're
cheeseburgers are also Thai food. Yeah, like the Minetta Tavern cheeseburger.
Not a cheeseburger in paradise. Rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett.
R.I.P. JB.
Favorite weekend activity, and because we're in September, it's still summer, but favorite memory of the summer?
Favorite weekend activity would be definitely going to see live music. 100%. So Hundo P on the live music. And favorite memory of the summer was definitely with you. And I have to say, I think it was Shell. I think it was Shell It Out. And I'm not just saying that because it's you. It was Shell It Out. That's my favorite memory of the summer, period.
Well, you're a great...
So awesome.
No, but that was a kick-ass party.
But that was a genuine answer from Party Karen Con, not Sculptor Karen
Con. I love it.
It was just great. I loved it. I loved supporting the oyster farming on the East End. It was so fun. It was perfect. And I looked so cute in the pictures. So, like, that was so fun. There we go. I'm an easy lady. You know what I mean? Easy to please.
Karen, I appreciate you coming on the show. Obviously, I always love catching
you. Thanks for having me.
In real life, on the phone, on the internet, on this thing, on the podcast, you name it. But Karen Con, founder and CEO, I Fund Women. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff, so much for having me. And listeners, thanks for listening in. If you need any information about me, slide into my DMs on Instagram, at Karen Con. I respond to that.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.